You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. I am excited to be able to interview our intern, our Envision Berlin intern, Rachel Norton, the first of her kind here in Berlin, the first intern that we've had. And I'm excited to be able to interview her because, first of all, I think she's got a great story to tell because it's been an excellent opportunity for us to have her here because she's helped us grow so much as an Envision Berlin site and because she was here for really all of our firsts. She came before we officially launched as an Envision Berlin site, and everything that she thought she would be doing in Berlin is not what she has been doing in Berlin. And so I think just her growing and learning through that adversity is an amazing story, but I don't want to tell her story for her. I'm going to let her explain that to you as we go through this interview today. So Rachel, why don't you start just by introducing yourself to people?
Yeah. So like you already said, my name is Rachel. I'm in my early 20s. I graduated from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in May of 2020, such a great year to graduate. I studied psychology when I was in college. I don't know what else to say about myself. These days, I'm still trying to figure out who I am because after coming to Berlin and living overseas for almost a year, I'm still learning things about myself that I never knew. So sometimes every day, I feel like a different person.
What led you to come overseas, or what put in the seed of Rachel's brain the idea of, I would really like to spend some time overseas and maybe even look at what does it mean to be ministering overseas?
So growing up, I would hear my dad share stories about his time when he was living overseas as an international worker. My dad did the same thing as I did. When he graduated from college with his bachelor's degree, he went overseas to Tanzania for 2 years. And I just remember hearing stories that he would share about monkeys stealing pans and birds stealing food that they have in their hands, and about my dad going to the store and not remembering the right word when he was shopping for eggs. And instead of saying eggs, he said that he wanted fruit of the chicken. So just those experiences shaped my mindset growing up and really allowed my mind to open up to the world. The world is greater than Lincoln, Nebraska. The world is greater than the United States.
And then even when you were in college, you had a lot to do with the international students on campus as well, didn't you?
I did. So I was a part of two different international student ministries. And I remember evaluating my friendships, as everyone in college does at some point. And then I was thinking, wow, most of my friends are international students. I don't have a lot of friends that are American students. And then even in these international student ministries, some of the people working there and serving with these groups said, hey, Rachel, we could see you going overseas for a while. And I'm like, okay, cool. They see me going overseas. So that's something I can do. That's something that I can think about.
Grew up hearing stories about Tanzania and monkeys and fruit of the chicken. And then you decide Berlin. That's a big difference between Tanzania and Berlin. What made you think of coming to Germany or to Berlin?
So I would have never guessed that I would have ended up in Germany. I think it's just definitely by the grace of God and just his leading. In high school, we all had to take language classes in order to fulfill certain college entrance requirements. So I remember I really wanted to take German, but all of my friends are taking Spanish. So I'm like, I want to hang out with my friends, have classes with them. So I decided to take Spanish. And that's something that I always regretted after I graduated from high school. And then I remember in one of the international student groups that I was a part of, somebody was like, hey, Rachel, you should think about taking a foreign language class with the extra elective hours that you have. So I thought about it and I told myself, well, I've always regretted not taking German in high school. So maybe I can take a German class and see how it goes. I'll just take one semester. It'll be fun. It'll be something new. And I did. And after I took that German class, my eyes were completely changed. Just seeing Germany as a country that really needs more of the church. it's not the same church that it was when Luther and these other big names in Christian history were alive and did what they did.
So your first stop in Germany wasn't Berlin, though. You came with crew and you came to Munich, right?
I did. So in the summer of 2019, I decided I was going to go to Germany with crew and go and do campus evangelism in Munich. I was learning German. I had a semester under my belt, which really isn't a lot, and it's a hard language. So, you know, it's not like I would be able to share the gospel or anything in German with just one semester of German. We know how that goes, learning languages. But I really felt like God was putting on my heart, okay, you need to continue learning German. I want you to go overseas. I want you to go to Germany and go on this summer mission trip. So I went on this trip for a month. I just remember on this trip, God just made it obvious to me that I needed to come back, that this wasn't the end, that this was the beginning of something that he was starting. I remember the last week we were in Munich, just sitting down with God and just being like, okay, I really don't know where you're leading me. I'm going to graduate in a couple of years, and I really feel like you're calling me back to Germany. I remember praying, okay, God, I really want to meet some German students at my university the upcoming semester, because it's hard to meet German students at my university. They don't want to study in Nebraska because it's cold and it's boring. They want to go on the coasts where they can go to the beach, where it's warm all year. So that was one of my prayers. And then my other prayer was, okay, God, you're going to have to give me opportunities to go overseas because I'm not going to push and pry and try to get myself over here. You're going to have to make a way.
And kind of unbeknownst to you at the same time, we're working with the leadership of your church mm-hmm. and we're forming a partnership with City Light Lincoln and the teams here in Germany.
Yeah, I remember, I want to say it was like March or April of 2019, and I found out that my church was sending a team over to Berlin, and I was a little bit jealous. I'm like, oh, I wish I could go to Munich and then come back for a few weeks and then go back to Berlin with my church, but at that point, I had already signed up to go with crew.
And that was a great team. We had so much fun with mm-hmm. them when they came. And then Anthony was like, you know what? I think we can probably get an intern for you guys. This was such a great group. And then you weren't with that team. But then when Anthony heard that you were interested in going back to Germany, then he connected us.
Yeah. So it's really funny because in 2019, when I was in Munich, I really wanted more. God was leading me to come back. And so my heart was set. I was going to apply to do a 1-year, 2-year internship with crew in Munich. And I was so excited about it.
And then you must have mentioned it to Anthony.
Yeah, I did. So I actually didn't meet Anthony, our global missions director, until the end of 2019. And I remember having a conversation with him and being like, yeah, I was in Munich in the summer, and I thought it was kind of funny that I was in Munich, and then a few weeks later, you guys came to Berlin. If I would have known that you guys were going to Berlin, then I would have thought about going with you guys instead of crew. And it's funny because at that point, God had already answered some of those prayers, some of the things that I was asking him to show me. So I knew if he was leading me to go back to Germany or not. I had met some amazing German students that fall semester at my university, and we became really good friends. And then also God, he gave me an opportunity to apply with crew, with Campus Connect here in Germany. And I found out in January that they accepted me. And at that point is when things got crazy, because I was ready to sign the paperwork and say, yes, I'm fully committed to go to Munich with Campus Connect, with crew there and serve. And then that's when I had a conversation with Anthony, our global missions director, and he's like, hey, Rachel, I heard that you're applying to go to Germany with crew. Let me tell you about this global partnership that we're developing with some workers in Berlin. And it's funny, I don't think I ever told you this, but I did not want to go to Berlin because crew Campus Connect also has a location, a group here in Berlin. I remember I had a conversation with somebody in crew and I'm like, okay, I really don't want to go to Berlin. I'm really confident that God is calling me to Munich. And then the lady was like, well, Rachel, you know, it's not guaranteed that you'll go to Munich. You could end up in Berlin if we decide that's a better fit for you. And then my stubbornness kicked in and I'm like, yeah, if you tell me I'm going to Berlin with crew, I'm just going to fight until I'm able to go to Munich because I know people there, I know the staff, I know the city. And then it's actually really funny too, because that Christmas, December of 2019, my twin sister, she knew that I was going to be going to Germany. And so she bought me this necklace of the country of Germany. And there was a little heart cut out. And she's like, I'm sorry, this heart is on Berlin.
That's awesome.
I meant to get this heart over Munich because you're going to Munich. And she's like, but wouldn't it be funny, though, if God was calling you to Berlin? And I'm like, no, God's not going to call me to Berlin. I'm going to Munich. I already know it. So, yeah, it just makes that conversation in January with my global missions pastor so much more funny because I was just so stuck on Munich. There's no way I'm going to Berlin.
And we picked up a little bit on that in the conversation that we had with you the first time. It wasn't this is just a waste of time because I've already decided to go to Munich. But I mean, we could tell that you already had a great experience with crew and that you were really drawn to them. But you were interested in hearing what might possibly happen in Berlin. And it was just a neat opportunity to get to know you and to talk about it. And then whatever God did behind the scenes, it ended up leading you here to Berlin. And then it was kind of the rubber started hitting the road in that it's like, well, if I come to Berlin, what on earth will I be doing there? And we had been working with our with the international site developer at the same time and saying, well, what would a one-year internship look like? What would be some of the responsibilities? And this is all pre-COVID. So early winter 2019, like January, February timeframe that we're finishing putting the wraps on that and hoping for Envision to come in March so that we could really start to get some of the final details ironed out and get all of our training taken care of. And so we had this amazing job description for you, how long you'd be in language, the different ministries you'd be helping with, and then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And that, just like around the world, impacted the ministries that we were doing in Berlin as well. And we just had to start shutting down programs and we couldn't get you in. And so even before you got here, that had to be just a crazy experience for you in the U.S. Your heart is set on coming. God has led you in a certain direction, and now you can't come. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and how you were processing that?
Yeah, so I'm just going to back up a little bit. So it was January, and I was about to commit with crew. And then I had this conversation with Anthony at my church, and just after talking to him, I really felt that God was changing my heart. I started thinking about coming to Berlin, and it gave me joy. And just even after talking to people in my life and praying, it just became evident that God's like, no, you're not going to Munich. You're going to Berlin with your church's global partners. And so that was a leap of faith in itself, because one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Munich is because I knew students there. I knew the city, I knew the staff that I would be working with. And here, coming to Berlin, I would be coming here. I never met you before. I never met your wife. I've never been to Berlin before. So it was just a complete leap of faith that I would be taking. And I remember you're talking about writing the job description. I remember sitting in the conference room of my church. It was like, January or February of 2020. And I remember sitting down and making that job description. And now I just look back and laugh because it's so different. I'm sure if we pulled it up right now, we would just be like, what is this? This is not the job description that Rachel has.
You still studied language.
I did.
You're helping us with social media. And those are probably the only things that are the same on that job description.
Yeah. And even too, I just want to mention God, he provides, he leads. And if I would have ended up doing an internship with crew, I wouldn't have been able to come to Germany because they weren't sending staff overseas. And so it was just amazing for me to see that, okay, I'm going overseas and my organization is letting me do that Whereas if I would have made the other decision and gone with the other organization, I don't even know if I would be overseas right now because of COVID.
Yeah, so I said that was early 2019. It was early 2020 when we were working through all of that. And we were working with you and another young lady who were both looking at coming. And I remember just the frustration for all of us. Nobody knew what was going on or how long we would still be. And who would have imagined then that as approaching winter of 2021, that we'd still be looking at Corona travel restrictions to some extent. And so it was, we were connecting every 2 weeks and seeing if travel was open and if you guys could come. And eventually we had to just stop doing that. Not the connecting, but even saying here's the update, because that was a roller coaster ride of emotions for everyone.
Yeah, it's really difficult living in that moment of, when am I going to go? When should I start telling my family goodbye? When should I start mentally transitioning out of my home and start thinking about going overseas?
Did I have the last Christmas before I go, or am I going to have another Christmas? It was
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or even, is this my last week here in the United States for a year? Am I going to be leaving at the end of the week if a door opens where I'm able to fly over? Yeah, that was just a lot to comprehend.
Because the goal was to come in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the more it got into the fall, the less and less likely that was, to the point where it was impossible.
It was nearly impossible. I remember, too, it was just so frustrating because God allowed me to raise my financial support rather fast.
Mm-hmm.
So because he allowed that to happen, I kind of was thinking, oh, well, that must mean that God's going to open a door soon for me to go overseas if he's just allowing these things to work out. And obviously he didn't open that door until a few months later, because I was planning on coming that September, but I didn't end up coming until January 8th of 2021.
And even that was, I mean, because we kept looking and checking and you came across the smallest of loopholes. If somebody's coming voluntarily to serve, that there could be an exception that in one of the changes, because the rules kept getting tweaked a little bit. And you saw that and sent that to us. And then, man, the email exchange that I ended up having with somebody in the government to make sure that they would confirm that so that you didn't show up at the border and then have them turn you away was also quite the challenge. And even then they said, yeah, this is how it looks. Here's a letter saying that's how we see this. But in the end, it's the decision of the policeman at the border on whether or not they let you in. What on earth were you and your parents thinking as you're thinking, wow, we're going to travel, but here are the potential restrictions? That had to be stressful for you guys.
I think my parents kind of have the attitude of, oh, it's Rachel. She'll be fine. She'll take care of it. She's responsible. We don't have to worry about her. But I remember thinking too, you weren't, I mean, okay, you came across as really certain that I would be able to come in, get into the country, that they wouldn't send me back. But at the same time, that what if was going through my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really funny because I remember thinking, okay, I need to get a COVID test before I leave, before I go to the airport in my hometown. I get it from my mom. I'm just extra prepared sometimes. I have that mindset of, oh, what would my mom do to prepare for this situation? So if it wasn't for that COVID test that I got right before I came to Berlin, I wouldn't have made it, because I remember it was like that day they just had changed regulations and they're like, okay, you need a negative COVID test now before you can travel. So I remember the lady at the airport when I was checking in to board my first flight, she's like, where's your negative COVID test? And I'm like, oh, it's right here. Praise the Lord that I have this with me.
Yeah, no kidding.
And gave it to her. I was able to board the flight, got to Chicago. Oh my goodness. It was really intimidating in Chicago, because even in Chicago, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to board this flight. This is the moment of truth. If they don't let me board this flight to go to Frankfurt, because I was flying then from Chicago to Frankfurt, then that's it. I'm going to be in the United States for another few months, just continuing this process of waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
So I remember the people at the desk in our terminal were like, okay, if you don't have a German passport or a German residency card, you need to come up to the desk and explain why you are flying to this country. And I'm like, oh, shoot, this is intimidating. So I walked up with my folder of documents, all of the stuff that you prepared for me to print off. I had two copies of everything. Again, it's like, oh, how would my mom prepare for this? Yeah, she had print off two copies of everything. And it was funny because I gave the guy at the desk all of this paperwork. And he's like, I don't know German. He's like, I have no idea what this says, but I'm assuming that your reason is a legit reason to travel to Germany. So I'm going to stamp your boarding pass and I'm going to let you board the plane. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. It's probably a good thing this man didn't know German.
Well, even if he did, I mean, it all said, yeah, we see that this is a legitimate reason for you coming. It follows this and this rule. And the person gave us a letter, the person from the governmental police gave us a letter saying that you should be in, but always with that. But in the end, it's up to the border policemen. And so it was, yeah, of course, we tried to tell you, as far as we know, they're going to let you in. But even then it was, there is always the possibility it shouldn't happen. And praise God, it didn't. You got in and we met you there at the airport. You were also the first person that we picked up flying into the new Berlin airport. So we couldn't really even tell you. And this is how you navigate everything in the airport as you walk through. And
That's why there's signs in the airport.
Yes, luckily. But we didn't know what the signage was like because we had never been in it either. But then you arrived and went right into quarantine.
Yeah, right in the quarantine. You took me around in your van around the city. You took the long way back to my apartment so I could actually see something before I would go in the quarantine for 5 days. Got dinner kebabs. Had to pick up my SIM card for my phone. Then quarantine. Then I had 5 days by myself.
Which also wasn't awful because you were, I mean, it had been such a stressful thing getting you here and not knowing if you could get here. A little bit of that exhale time was kind of nice, but I was also glad at the time that we could then take you for another COVID test and get you out of quarantine after 5 days and you didn't have to spend the 10 days in quarantine.
That would have been brutal.
Yeah, after three, you're already going a little stir crazy.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another big part of your journey here, Rachel, has been the rules in Germany have been, in a lot of Europe actually, have been stricter for longer than they were in the United States for those of our listeners who are listening from the U.S. And so it just meant that for us to minister respectfully in the places that we're ministering in, we had to do our best to follow the rules or find the governmentally approved loopholes to the rules. And that changed so much of what you thought you were coming here to do, which is one thing if you're in a secular job and you're saying, well, you know, okay, I guess we just have to do something different. But from an intern position, from someone who's coming to do ministry, so much of your spiritual journey and agreement to come is tied up with what you thought you would be doing and how you would be serving. And almost all of that changed for you. Can you talk a little bit about how that impacted your spiritual journey as well?
So when I think of doing work overseas, especially as an international worker, I see that as doing a lot with the people around me, getting involved in different ministries, just building all of these relationships, serving, working hard, going home every day and just being exhausted. I think it's also kind of that Midwestern United States work ethic. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be doing something. And even too, as somebody that lives on raised financial support, there's that pressure of, I need to be doing something. Like I need to be a good steward of this money. So that definitely added some pressure to it. But I remember after quarantine, just thinking, what am I going to do? Because my language school wouldn't start until February 1st. And I had these 3 weeks of nothing, because at that point, you guys were still busy with the access team and working on transitioning over into Envision Berlin. And so I just kind of felt like, I'm here. My presence is here, and I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And it made me really grateful for the experience that I had doing an internship with my church while I was in that season of waiting to come to Berlin. Because I remember during that internship at my church, a lot of it was, okay, what needs to be done? You need to take initiative of different tasks, and you need to just find these needs. And so I kind of took that mindset with me to Berlin. And those 3 weeks that I had before language school, I'm like, okay, I see this family right now that I work with. They have 4 kids. And they're homeschooling them because kids weren't allowed to go to school in person at that time. And the parents were also trying to manage their full-time jobs. So I decided, okay, I think that'd be a good use of my time, is I'm going to help out this family with homeschooling and hopefully give the parents somewhat of a break, somewhat of more time to work on their own work stuff that they're supposed to be doing, because obviously they don't have time to get their jobs done and do full-time homeschooling.
Husband trying to prepare at the same time for his language test.
Exactly.
And in the middle of all this, the cafes, everything is closed, so he can't leave the home to go and just study. I mean, it's January. He can't just
exactly
go outside and study or try to find a quiet corner in their absolutely not quiet home.
Exactly. And homes in Berlin are nothing like homes back in the Midwestern United States. Everybody pretty much has an apartment.
Yeah.
And even apartments that families live in are significantly smaller than a single family house in the United States. Mm-hmm. So space is really not a concept here. Like, you don't have a lot of personal space, even when you're living with your family in your apartment.
Yeah. And that was such a great service. And it's so helpful to them that you were able to jump in and do that. And like you said, we were transitioning, and it was really hard for the team as well. We had so many people in language school or just coming, and all of us trying to figure out, well, how do we do house churches if we're not allowed to even have people over? We couldn't even have another family in our apartments at the time. So everything was online, and us trying to figure out, how on earth do we do this? What a chaotic time.
Yeah. And I just remember being like, I have no idea what's going on around me. I don't really know what's happening, but I'm just going to roll with it. And obviously, that's not easy when you're adjusting to a new country, dealing with culture shock. You want to have some sort of idea what is going on around you. You want some stability. And that's one thing that I really wrestled with the first few months, is nothing about my life right now is stable. The only thing stable is God, because God doesn't change. Yeah. He's the same God that he was when I was in the United States. He's the same God that he is now that I'm here in Berlin.
So we're bringing part one of this interview with Rachel to a close here today. And it's really interesting to me how much it ties back to the culture shock episodes that we did with Stephen and Jenny a while ago, especially those closing comments, trying to find what's constant and what's not. Especially in the middle of a global pandemic, and as you're coming into a new country and you're making so many adjustments, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes if you haven't already, and then to come next week and to hear as we engage a little bit more about the theme of culture shock and some of the transitions that Rachel went through. Thanks so much for listening.
Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Piccinato.